What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. Fun show today. We have reports of players that are coming back next year, reports of players that are leaving. And I want to talk about the report that has been out there for a while. There was some more added to it just a couple days ago where the idea that Paul Christ and Chris McIntosh had kind of a giant heated argument, which led to the firing, like that was never the plan. I want to give my thoughts on that and really talk about it a little bit because I think it's very interesting. All that and more, plus some interesting basketball numbers that I think we need to pay attention to on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. I am your host, Ryan Herrings, your team every single day. Can't tell you how much I appreciate y'all tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at Upside. Download the free Upside app, use promo code LOCKED to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. All right, let's get into it. So I haven't talked about this really on the show at all because it's been just kind of smoke and I don't have any way of confirming it. I still don't, but it's out there a little bit more. People are talking about it a little bit. I just want to give my thoughts on it. And what I'm talking about is, and this has been reported in a couple places, Football Scoop is the latest. They came out with a video talking about how essentially after the Illinois loss, and this has already been out there a little bit, Chris McIntosh went in to meet with Paul Christ and basically, depending on who you're listening to, either asked or demanded that things change, right? You know, this is not good enough. You need to change things. According to some sources, Paul Christ pushed back on this. The degree of which, I don't know. I'm not there. Again, I will never blow smoke with y'all. If I know something, I've heard something, I'll tell you. If I haven't, I'm not going to blow smoke. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what was said. But according to reports, some reports, Chris McIntosh did not walk into that meeting intending to fire Paul Christ. And, you know, they had an argument and Chris McIntosh said, screw it, you're done. We're moving on. And that was it, right? And fans have pushed back on this. Fans have been said that's a sign of Chris McIntosh maybe being over his head. That's a sign of Chris McIntosh maybe not planning properly. Certainly it takes two to tango. It's also probably a sign of Paul Christ continuing to be potentially a little too stubborn. I would say this, multiple things can be true here. We live in such a world of black and white. You have to be all of this or all of that. I'm going to have an instant take. You know, I hate this or I love that. There's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of gray area, right, that we need to go back and understand that this exists here. A lot of these things can be true. I don't know if Chris McIntosh walked into that meeting wanting to fire Paul Christ. I don't think he probably did. But I also don't think he walked into that meeting completely oblivious to the fact that it was an impossibility, right? I think he knew straight up. He had ammunition in his clip here. He knew straight up he had Jim Leonard on staff. And I know he knew that Jim Leonard would like to be a head coach at some point of the Wisconsin Badgers. So he didn't go in there thinking there's no way this could turn sour, in my opinion. Meanwhile, Paul Christ, like I get it from his standpoint. You're frustrated. You just lost a game to Illinois. Now your boss is coming in saying change this, change that. He probably did push back, maybe told him some degree of go pound sand. I'm the head coach. I know what I'm doing. But listen, if you're Chris McIntosh and you're going in to try to fix a problem, Paul Christ, as powerful as a football coach is, works for Chris McIntosh. He works for the athletic department, right? So if he's not going to be willing to listen to you, if he's not going to acquiesce to changes that you think need to be happened or changes that you think need to happen, what else are you supposed to do as Chris McIntosh? If it escalates to the point where you go into a meeting and you say, listen, you need to change these things. This isn't good enough. Recruiting's not good enough. Offensive play isn't good enough. Let Bobby Engram run the show. Why are we not doing these things that we wanted to do in the offseason? And then if Paul Christ responds to you, is like, hey, I don't want to do that right now. I got this. It kind of puts Chris McIntosh in a corner, right? Like either make the changes or go. And I think that's the spot it got to in that meeting. The other thing with sources, you know, sources are saying essentially McIntosh was kind of blindsided by this. He didn't know this would happen. You know, he was left kind of scrambling with Jim Leonard. Sources don't always have the full story. I've said this at the beginning. I highly doubt Chris McIntosh went into that meeting thinking there was no chance it was going to escalate and get to that point. He knew he had Jim Leonard in his back pocket and he knew he was going in to talk to an established coach that is kind of stubborn and has had success. Let's be fair here. Like, I think Chris McIntosh isn't a dummy, is what I'm saying. I don't think that thing spiraled so quickly out of control that he was like, just get out of here then, you're fired. I don't buy that. That's been kind of reported. I think multiple things can be true here. I think it probably escalated maybe more than McIntosh thought it would escalate. I think maybe he thought Paul Chris would be a little more comfortable having that discussion. Like, yeah, you're right. We do need to change some things. I'm not doing it good enough. It didn't obviously go that way, but I think Chris McIntosh made the right decision, right? In that moment, if you're going, think about any of you, a lot of you listening to the show have been in a position of supervision somewhere, right? If you go in to talk to an employee that isn't pulling his weight, is not doing a good enough job, and you're going in there saying, hey, this wasn't good enough. We need to clean things up. We need to get better. And the employee says, no, I'm not changing it. I'm good. I've done well in the past. I'm going to continue my present course. What do you do as their supervisor if they don't leave you that choice? And again, we don't know what happened in that meeting, but I don't really buy what is fully being reported in that Chris McIntosh went in there, didn't think it would escalate, and was kind of left scrambling like, oh, I hope Jim Leonard's the guy. No, I think he knew he had Jim Leonard in the back pocket. I think the meeting didn't go well from either Chris or McIntosh's standpoint, from either of their perspectives. I think all this is probably true. And then I think Chris McIntosh made a decision he felt like he had to make. I think that's what happened. And I actually have a lot of respect for Chris McIntosh in terms of, I think it was a decisive act for a young athletic director. Listen, I've talked about the easy move before on this show, right? The easy move, in my opinion, was immediately posting the job once Paul Chris was fired and hiring Jim Leonard. I think that was the easy move. And I like that Chris McIntosh didn't do that right away. I think the easy move as a young athletic director also would have been hanging on to Paul Chris until the end of the year, right? That's the easy move because he's a guy who's won a lot of games. He's a guy who's liked by his team. You know, he's a Wisconsin guy. Certainly nobody in the media is going to give you flack for hanging on to Paul Chris through this year. So in both these situations and circumstances, I got to give Chris McIntosh like a lot of credit for, in my opinion, making some bold and not the easiest road decisions, right? Kind of trekking his own path, for lack of a better word. So, yeah, again, if you see those sources out there, if you see that story, I would caution people, you know, it's just sources don't always have the full story. And I also think Chris McIntosh had a feeling what could happen and knew what he had in his back pocket. So I haven't talked about it a lot on the show, but I thought it'd be fun to address it and get my thoughts out there, especially with the Football Scoop story coming out, you know, which really, I thought, painted Chris McIntosh in kind of a weird light. Justin Jolko has been on the show a bunch of times. He has a similar viewpoint on this as well, just in terms of, you know, I think McIntosh probably had an idea this could happen and would happen. And it wasn't entirely shocking to him, is where I'd be on that. All right, coming up, we have a big-time player coming back next year that I wasn't sure if he would. We're going to talk about some of the players leaving, for sure, some of the players coming back. Including, like I said, a big-time player coming back to the Wisconsin football team that I think is a major boon to next year's Badgers team. That's coming up next, but first a word from our friends over at Upside. Upside is one of the easiest ways to offset the rising cost of inflation, right? And we've all been there. We've all seen inflation. It's impacted all of us. And Upside is an incredibly easy-to-use app that allows you to get cash back on all the day-to-day stuff that you do in just a normal life. And I used actually some of it to buy some of my Badger swag back here. I used my Upside app to do that. It's easy to use. And inflation is something that, unless you're independently wealthy, has impacted all of us, right? Everything's more expensive. Going out to eat is more expensive now. We went to B-Dubs the other day, spent $60 on a meal for myself, my two kids, and my wife. It used to be not $60. So listen, inflation has hit all of us. Upside, you know, is one of the ways where you can get a little bit of that back. You know, a little way where you don't have to take as many cutbacks. To get started, download the free Upside app. Use my promo code LOCKED and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. And anytime you go to a business, check in using Upside, you pay as usual with a credit card or, you know, and then you get paid. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app, use promo code LOCKED, get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code LOCKED. When you're done here, go check out Locked On Sports Today. All the biggest sports stories, news in one podcast, like only the Locked On Network can provide. Wherever you get your podcasts, available on YouTube, Locked On Sports Today. And then I want to just thank everyone for tuning into the show. Really, really do appreciate it. I appreciate everybody listening and appreciate the community in the Discord. Love you, fam. And let's just keep talking. So players leaving off the football team, players coming back. I thought this was a lot of fun. It's interesting to look into next year. Let's talk about some of the players leaving. So obviously we have one more football game this year. Minnesota's coming to town, right? Seniors are going to walk. Some of the names on that senior list are going to be hard to replace. You have Keanu Benton, right? You have Andy Vujovic. You have Torchio, obviously. Those are the three big ones. But you also have Isaac Rendo, Beach, Fertney, Jay Shaw, Clark, Chase Wolf. But again, the big ones, you have Keanu Benton, who has just been a stalwart, right? 4 years, 8.5 sacks as a nose guard. Just disruptive, consistent, plays through minor injuries, a total leader on that defensive line. And I don't know how they're going to replace him next year. Again, that's a ways off. The transfer portal's a thing. Player development's a thing. Internal development's a thing. Maybe you flip somebody, that's a thing. But I'm just telling you right now, that is a massive, massive hole in that middle of that 3-4 that I don't see a ready-made replacement on the roster. I don't think Curtis Neal's stepping into that role next year. I think he's going to play more, but I think they're going to have to hit the transfer portal. And it's one of the reasons why I don't think Jamel Howard was stepping into that role either next year, but it's one of the reasons why I'm super bummed that he decommitted from the 2023 class, because he's a legitimate 320-pound dude. And there's just not a lot of 320-pound dudes out there that move. So Benton leaving, Vuj. Listen, punters are people too. He's not having his typical year. Last year, he was second in the Big Ten in punting average. This year, he's middle of the pack. I think he's seventh. But you know what you're not getting with him? You're not terrified he's going to catch the ball, right? You're not terrified he's going to make gigantic mistakes in special teams. He's just a really solid punter and has been for a couple of years. Excuse me, Wisconsin's going to have to replace that. They're going to have to find somebody next year to step in and fill that void. And it's not always as easy as it sounds to find a punter. Special teams this year hasn't been good anyway. And now you're going to take one of those stronger links off of it. So definitely a major challenge this offseason. Rebuild the special teams and do it without the consistent punter that you've had for a couple of years. That's a big loss. Torchio, the jewelry thief, is leaving. You're talking about, you know, a lot of secondary pieces moving on. Jay Shaw, Justin Clark, all moving on. Torchio is a guy leads the Big Ten, I believe, still in interceptions. Definitely leads the Badgers. Has two pick sixes this year. Just a consistent, intelligent playmaker. Someone they're going to have to replace again next year. Now, I like the safety depth they have. That's why I kind of list him behind the other two. He's a very good player. He's done incredible things for this defense. He's Jim Leonard's eyes, coach on the field. But, you know, you got coming back next year, Kamoi Latu, who I love. Hunter Waller's going to be there. Austin Brown, after this kind of freshman year, is going to be stepping into a bigger role. I think you still have Titus Toler. You have pieces there. Blaylock could come back. Remember, he tore up his knee this year. He was projected to be a starter at safety. So you have interesting pieces there that I think are going to be able to step up and we'll be fine at safety. Again, I'm not so sure at punter and I'm not so sure at nose guard, but certainly Torchio is going to be a big loss. Most of the other spots are more depth pieces or I don't want to call them fringe starters, but I would call them replacement level starters. Guys like Fertney, Beach, who's played a lot of football, Jay Shaw, Clark, all these are good players. Isaac Rendo, who my heart breaks at how little we used them this year. But all of those players, none of those are leaving a titanic sized hole in the roster, right? Now I want to talk about what I mentioned, a couple key players coming back, including a big one, a big, big piece coming back. But let's start with Malusi. So Chez Malusi announced he's coming back. I don't think that's the gigantic piece of the puzzle coming back, but I think it's important, right? We've seen running back depth for really a couple years now not be a strong point of Wisconsin. You know, when you see Braylon Allen running into the ground and other people not being able to get reps, even going back to Jonathan Taylor, you know, those running back rooms weren't really deep. We were just blessed that Jonathan Taylor stayed healthy and was a total workhorse. Malusi coming back's a big deal, right? Because he is a veteran. You know what you're going to get out of him. He runs hard. He's decisive. You know, I was going back and forth with Scott in the Discord, you know, and he's pretty stoked for it. It's not that I'm not stoked for it. I don't think Malusi is a special back. And I'm not sure Scott was saying that either. But no matter what, he's really solid depth, right? He can catch the ball. He's tough. He's definitely tough. He's definitely a worker. Like, you don't come back from the injuries he's come back and rehab the way he's rehabbed without having those intangibles. I think he's really good for the locker room. And he's somebody that is going to give you, can give you very consistent 10 to 15 carries a game. He shouldn't be your bell cow. He shouldn't be your number one. But he can be that number two to Braylon Allen or someone else. He can really give you quality minutes. So that's a big win, right? Getting him back, quality running back helps with the depth, obviously returning production. And I think he's kind of a leader. I think he's got some of those intangible qualities to him. When you hear coaches talk about him, when you hear other teammates talk about him, when you see the way he rehabs, when you see how hard he runs, I think he gives a crap, right? And you almost can't have too many players that give a crap. That really matters for the culture, the locker room, and the team. So him coming back is a big deal. But now let's get into the coup de grace here. Alexander Smith coming back, cornerback number one. This is huge, right? So if you remember back to offseason, we brought in Jay Shaw and Cedric Dort and Justin Clark. And these were real dudes we brought in. You know, Jay Shaw was a second team all Pac-10 player. You know, real veteran cornerbacks and players you brought in. Cedric Dort coming from Kentucky, SEC country. And all offseason, unequivocally, the Badgers coaching staff, Jim Leonard, Poteet, they said Alexander Smith is our best cornerback. He is CB1, period. He has separated himself. He has elevated himself. He is cornerback one. And he does bring a unique blend of size and speed, right? He's a veteran. He's physical. He's not a twig out there. He can run. He can contest the ball at the catch point. And then he got hurt, right? He had that hamstring injury, and then it just snowballed. One game into two games. Is he coming back three games into four games? When is he going to be here five games into six games? And, you know, finally he got back for that Purdue game. And instantly, it was like a switch flipped. The coverage got better. The secondary got better. The defense got better. And that was a real Purdue passing attack. Like, they have real weapons. They know how to throw the ball around. And inserting Alexander Smith into that defensive secondary, I mean, it was such a cascading effect of moving all the other cornerbacks down one notch to where they're more appropriate. And Alexander Smith is able to take that top receiver from the other team. He is a big time player for this defense. Getting him back where he'll have another year, right, to hone his craft, another year of strength and conditioning, another year of coaching, another year of really grinding it out. The secondary could be really good next year. You're losing, like I said, you're losing a lot of pieces, but you start to project it out. You put Alexander Smith on one side. You have maybe Hunter Waller, Kamoi Latu, maybe Austin Brown. There's your three safety mix. And then on the other side, you got a lot of young corners on this roster. You know, guys like Hallman. There's pieces out there. By the way, Avion Jones is a guy that a lot of people are very high on, a young corner. Max Lofi's still there. There's a lot of pieces. Al Ashford's still there. You know, I like me some 6'1" guys that can run a 4.4. So getting Alexander Smith back really solidifies. And I've used this analogy before, like a baseball rotation. If you can put an ace on the top of your baseball rotation, you know, it really solidifies and makes it easier to find your 2, 3, 4, and 5 pitchers. So it's a big deal. We don't know for sure. Listen, more players are going to leave, right? We're just kind of looking at who's announced they're going and who's listed to walk on senior day. The Badgers are going to lose more transfers. Don't freak out when that happens. That's normal in college football. And it's normal in college football, even without coaching transitions now. So hopefully they're not impacted too much. Players are going to leave, and the Badgers are going to go get some too. So, but of the players leaving, Benton, I just don't know how they're going to fill that hole. I think it's going to be transfer portal and internal development and pray. And Avuj is a big deal too. So, you know, those players are gone. Again, like I said, Chez coming back, big time depth piece. And then being able to add Alexander Smith back at the secondary spot is a home run. That is a home run, big time addition. And by the way, getting those players back also kind of speaks to maybe a comfort level in the locker room, right? Players willing to come back, knowing Jim Leonard's going to be the guy and totally being good with buying into whatever his vision is. Because if they thought it would be a dumpster fire, listen, Alexander Smith could go play a lot of places. Chez Mulusi could go play other places. So file that away in the back of your brain as a couple confidence votes, right? A couple votes of confidence in the future locker room for players that are in that locker room right now. Coming up next, I want to talk about some really interesting numbers from the basketball side, including maybe a surprising player leading the Badgers in three-point attempts per 40 minutes. Maybe not interesting if you listen to the show. Stay tuned for that. But first, today's episode is brought to you, as always, by our really good friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs information. Great website for all your sports needs in general. They have you covered from golf, NASCAR, basketball, baseball, football, college sports, UFC, esports, plus live Vegas games. You play roulette, blackjack. It's all there, plus podcasts. I've talked about it a lot. BetOnline is a great spot to do live in-game betting, futures betting. You know, if you have a great read on something, y'all know, if you listen to the show a lot, I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. I may have put some money on them to win the title this year. I may be regretting that, but I'm not because I'm a fan. So it's a great place, though, if you have a feel like that, or if you're just a fan and you want to throw some money on one of your teams in the future, it's a lot of fun to do that. Follow along, do it responsibly, but BetOnline is your number one source for all of that action. Head to the website today, grab your mobile device, head to the website, BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's talk some basketball. I love basketball. I love Badgers basketball. Let's talk some basketball and some numbers. I wanted to take a quick snapshot at some numbers, some of the things I'm looking at, caveated by these enormously small sample size alert. Okay. So I am not drawing any definitive narratives from this, but I think there's some interesting things to look at through three games and some things that I want to look at. So here's some numbers for you. The team is dramatically better through three games shooting from three. 38% is a team that's 65th in the country. That is a gigantic jump from last year's team so far. Again, very small sample size. I'm not going to say it again, but just understand that things can change very quickly. But so far, what we thought would happen in the season, a lot of us thought this team would shoot better. So far, that's been validated. Okay. And then defensively, they're holding teams to 11%, which is number one in the country in three-point defense. Now, I've talked about this before. Some of that's bad luck. Like, some of that's luck-driven. The Badgers are not going to hold teams to 11% for the rest of the year. But some of that, I think, is early returns and is indicative of what is going to be a pretty good perimeter defense. In other words, I don't think it's all luck, right? I think this team pressures defensively. I think they get after it. I think they switch really well. I think they make it hard for shooters. I really do. And that has been borne out by the numbers. Now, again, two great games against this Badger defense, and the numbers are going to change drastically if it happens. But I really think the elements of a strong perimeter defense are here. I think we've seen it so far statistically. And I think as the season goes on, as it progresses, we're going to continue to see that this is a tough team to hit three-pointers against because the perimeter defenders are aggressive. They're long. They pressure well. And they really do a great job in scramble situations. Like, I like it a lot. I think this defense is going to continue to make it difficult on the perimeter. I think there's other issues on the defense that you can exploit. And I think this team is going to continue to shoot well. Now, one of the issues that, and I've talked about this before, that I think they need to do a better job of, right now they are averaging 21 three-pointers a game. That's 217th in the country. I think they're going to have to lean into that more. I think three-point shooting is a strength on this team. I don't think post-play outside of wall is going to be a strength. I don't think finishing at the rim is going to be a strength. I don't think breaking teams down and getting a bunch of layups is going to be a strength. I think they're going to have to lean into the three-point shot more. I think they're going to have to hunt it more. I would like to see them set up more action for Hepburn, set up more action for a Seagin, set up more action for Max Klezmant, you know, find, really lean into it and take 4, 5, 6 more three-pointers a game, because I think that's where their most efficient and best offense is going to come from. So we'll see if that happens. Again, I've said, I kind of would like to see Tyler Wall be utilized a little bit more as a pick and roll ball handler. I think he can do it. I think he has really interesting vision. He's dynamic coming off the dribble downhill. Now teams aren't going to respect, you know, his ability to shoot. So they're going to go under. It's going to create some weird things, but I think you could get some teams in bad spots where a big is out there trying to guard Tyler Wall as a pick and roll ball handler. You put Hepburn in a corner, Klezmant in another corner, Crowell, maybe the pick and roll guy who can pick and pop. There's a lot there I think you can do with the spacing on this team, and Tyler Wall is a decision maker. So I don't know. We'll see if that happens. Here's the one that I love. And if you listen to this show a lot, you know we love Asijan, Connor. Per 40 minutes, he leads the team in three-point attempts at 6.2. So if you're not familiar with what per 40 means, it basically means if you prorate out somebody's stats for 40 minutes, if they played exactly the way they played for 40 minutes, basically the entirety of a game, Connor Asijan, basically leads the team in three-point attempts, which I love. I think that's a perfect role for him. I want him to have the scope at all times so he can take the shots he wants. I want him to be a gunner. And so far, it looks like Greg Gard agrees with that, and it looks like he's hunting those shots. So he's averaging 6.2 threes per 40. I love it because it opens up the court. The thing is, with good shooters, even if you have a bad day, you're still spacing the court. Okay, you're still creating stress, and you're still causing gravity on the court and drawing defenders and really making it difficult for defenses to rotate, to scramble, to fill out. And I think he provides that spacing. I think teams are already seeing the scouting report and are trying to chase him around screens, go above screens, are trying to, you know, really close out aggressively on him. So I want him to keep shooting. I love that. Here's another one that's interesting. A lot of Carter Gilmore minutes get ostracized a little bit. Like he gets, and some of his shots are ugly. Like he has some ugly moments, Carter Gilmore. But if you want to know why he's out there, he does a lot of the little things. So listen to this. Leads the team in offensive rebound percentage. Offensive rebound percentage is basically the percentage of offensive rebounds he will get when he's on the court. Out of all the Badgers, Crowell, Tyler Wall, Davis, Gilmore leads the team in offensive rebound percentage. He's leads the team in steal percentage, and he's third in block percentage. So a lot of the little things, right? How do you get extra possessions in basketball? Offensive rebound, get a steal. You get a block, which can lead to transition. He's doing really well in all these little connecting stats, these hustle stats, which is why he's on the court. Offensively, some of his shots look horrendous. Like he took, in, I think in the second game against Stanford, he took a 17-footer that he clanged off the backboard and it hit nothing. Like it didn't hit rim at all. But if he's going to continue to get offensive rebounds, generate some steals, rotate, block a couple shots, he's going to continue to find playing time. And I would have a hard time saying he shouldn't if he's doing those little things. Two more things that are interesting to me here that stood out. Kamari McGee averaging 5 minutes per game. That's weird to me. We're going to have to see, again, small sample size. I thought he would play most of a lot of the minutes that Chucky Hepburn was sitting, right? Hepburn's at around 31 minutes. You know, so I would have thought Kamari would be closer to 8, 9, 10 minutes because I think he's a guy that needs to run that second team offense. But so far, that just hasn't been the case. They've actually used Isaac Lindsay to run a lot of the second team offense, which has not looked good at all. It's been kind of a disaster. Teams are pressuring him and he's not able to really get anything going. So I don't know where that's going to go. I think it's really interesting. Kamari McGee hasn't played more. It's pretty clear that they have not penciled him into point guard number two, like the guy that needs to run the offense when Hepburn's not out there. So something to see for sure. And last one that I found interesting, I want to talk about. You have seven guys who are all averaging about 15 minutes or more, right? That's the starters, and it's Connor, and it's Gilmore. So there's your seven right now. And then behind them, you have the smattering of minutes for Ilver, Neve, McGee, and Lindsay. So I think out of you, I think your seven is established, right? It's the five starters, it's Connor, and it's Gilmore. There's your top seven in the rotation because we've talked about rotation a lot. And now I think out of that next four, right, which is Neve, it's Lindsay, it's Neve, Lindsay, Ilver, and McGee. I think two more are going to have to emerge, and there's going to be your nine-man rotation. I think this will be kind of a nine-man rotation this year. So out of those two, I think it's probably going to be Neve and McGee. But I don't know. With McGee averaging 5 minutes a game, I actually think Ilver's looked pretty solid. I don't know. It's interesting. Again, very, very short sample size, big game coming up against Dayton. But let me know in the comments how you think this rotation is going to play out. Are you surprised by any of the basketball numbers? I really do appreciate everybody tuning in on Wisconsin. When you're done here, go check out Lockdown Sports Today. All the biggest sports stories of the day, like only the Lockdown Network can provide to you. Find it wherever you get podcasts and on the YouTube app. But with that, on Wisconsin, really appreciate y'all. We're going to continue talking Badgers. Big, big week. Obviously, Axe Week coming up. So huge week. We'll have content all week. And with that, on Wisconsin, and we'll talk later.